everybody. Welcome to our high school youth podcast, Between Two Worlds. This is the third episode we're doing. My name is Andrew. I also go by Gully, Gitch. I know, Gully. No one calls me that anymore, but I used to.
Does anyone call you Andy?
Sometimes, but around church it gets confusing because we actually have an Andy. Mm. So typically it's Gitch or Hey You or Hey Mutt or whatever.
Mutt.
I get it all.
Mutt.
My wife calls me Honey, so I accept that.
What's your middle name?
Any guesses? It's three letters.
Ray.
Sam.
No.
Len.
No. One more guess.
Slow.
No, my middle name is Lee. My grandmother's Lee. Name was Leona, and she had passed away before I was born, so my mother and father, in her honor and her loving memory, named me...
Leona.
No, Lee.
Leona.
I think I'm going with Leona.
Andrew Leona again.
You probably shouldn't have told me. My middle name is actually Leona.
I'm sensitive to it.
I know you are.
She was a great lady.
She's a great lady.
You didn't know her.
I didn't know her.
But she was a great lady.
She was fantastic. Okay. She worked hard.
I may call you Leona.
Okay.
On occasion.
What's your middle name, Ron?
Glenn.
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 Oh, yeah.
Glenn.
RG Free.
RG Free.
That's what people call him.
Exactly.
Okay, I can't make fun of that. That's just cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, so it's good to have you tuning in with us. We hope that this podcast is helpful for you, parents. And if teenagers are really, you know, excited about hearing us talk, then maybe they'll tune into this as well. But it's designed to be a useful resource and hopefully pleasant to your ears. That's why it's a podcast, not a video, you know?
We could make it a video.
I don't think anybody wants to see us.
I don't think so. So, anyways, you guys are doing good?
Oh, yes, we are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Luke?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
You're surviving? Your head's above water?
Thriving.
Yeah? Any ladies in your life? Okay, don't answer. Long, awkward silence.
Wow. That's a pretty personal question, like, in the first 30 seconds.
I know Luke, I think, fairly well, so.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, Gitch, we can talk about it after.
Yeah, maybe after. Not on a podcast.
Okay. So let's get into it. Today we want to talk about mentors, people who are in our lives who have had significant impact, or maybe not significant, but people who are in our lives who have been there for us, who have spoken into our lives, who have shown us, you know, leadership and given us guidance outside of a family setting, so not necessarily parents. So I want to know from you guys, who's been somebody in your life, you know, growing up, maybe now or in your teenage years, or both, even, who's someone who you would consider to be a mentor for you?
Well, I can go first. I'm the oldest, so I'll go first.
Age before beauty.
Age speaks here. Well, it was a long time ago when I was a teenager, obviously, and I went through a very... let's say difficult teenage adolescent time. Everything from, you know, failing a grade, getting kicked out of school, all that kind of stuff. And so during my adolescent years, I really felt I was alone. I didn't have what I would call a very good relationship with my parents. I mean, they loved me to the best of their ability. But I was a farm boy who worked hard and went to school, went to church, and try to figure out life from there. And so when I look back there and I see over all of these years, I see God's grace was exhibited to me in at times, even when I didn't know it was there. And there is one individual who still has great impact on my life. He was a farmer who loved God and felt that he needed to impact our teenagers in our church and our community. And so he paid specific attention to me. I remember, and as a 15, 16-year-old kid, wanting me to be part of the church youth group that was run by parents. We didn't have a youth pastor. We just had parents who ran this thing. And he was awesome. George Thiessen was his name. And he genuinely cared about us as teenagers. Not just me. This is, I mean, across the board. And he had a way about himself that made everybody feel welcome, that, you felt important. And you kind of wondered why this older person would want to hang out with you or would want to make sure that you could come to youth group. And he would pick us up. He would make sure that we were part of the gang. And so I think in that world, I look at what he did, and that carried on all the way through my difficult years. And then when God kind of got a hold of my life, I went to Bible college, and he still continued to speak into my life. And then when I became a youth pastor, he still was there to encourage and to walk alongside me. And so I would say that, you know, my early years of my formative years in the adolescent world, he was extremely significant. I didn't see it coming. And at the time, I probably didn't even realize it. I really didn't. But that influence has stuck with me all these years. It's helped me actually figure out things now, even after all these years, simply because I reflect now and I says, you know, he was there then. I remember things that he said. I remember things that he did. And I loved it at that time. And so, and even now, I mean, we still call each other. We talk to each other. And he's a humble guy. And he would just kind of shake his head. He says, no way. That's not it. You know, but that's just who he is. So, yeah. So I would say George is a guy that definitely had a great impact and influence in my life at a very strategic and kind of crossroads sort of time in my life when I knew that I was making decisions. And that was important.
What's one thing that George, you said a minute ago, you remember things he would do and things he would say. What's one or two things, you know, that were kind of his slogan or his tagline? Things that you knew he would say, you know, that he always repeated that you'll never forget.
He's a farmer, and his work ethic, he was a guy that would stop doing what he was doing and spend time with me, and which is significant. If you understand the farming world, when there's things to get done, you don't stop. These guys, they'll work 24 hours a day if they have to, if it's harvest, if it's seeding, if it's something like that. And he would stop. You remember he would show up at youth group and everybody else is farming, and he'd say, no, it's okay, I'm stopping today because it's youth group day. So that was, his actions always spoke louder than his words at times. His words were always, if I could think of taglines, they were more of the welcome side of life. Like, you know, the idea that says he knew my name. He called me out in terms of recognizing me and making me feel welcome on numerous occasions when I didn't know if there was anybody who really cared. And so that was a powerful time for me because, you know, anytime as an adolescent, you don't have relationships with older people. And then all of a sudden there's this older person that's not my parent, not related to me, not a teacher, not anybody. This is their choice to make me feel welcome. So, I mean, he was one of those guys that did that, and he did that by example.
Cool. George. I was getting a little worried near the beginning. You said his name was George. I'm thinking, oh, man. His name was George, or it is George. But then you later said that you still talk with him. So that's encouraging that he's still there. So today, who would be someone in your world?
He's basically saying
you think about that, don't you?
Who's someone today, though, as a older gentleman?
Someone who's not dead?
Well-seasoned in years. Who in your role right now, you know, pastoral ministry here at the church, who is kind of a mentor for you now?
So you're asking Ron that?
I'm asking Ron.
Ron, who's older? Who is older than him?
Even older, yeah.
Well, I mean, I
not necessarily.
I think you got to give it to Vic Schellenberg.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Vic Schellenberg's way older than me. So that would probably be sufficient to leave it at that.
Sure.
But I would say it now, I mean, after years of college and years of ministry, I've worked with a number of great senior pastors. And I think of, you know, someone like a Carlin Weinhauer at Willingdon Church. Like he took me under his wing, and he spoke a lot of good truth into my life, you know. Guys like that, you know, even here at Northview, you know, Vern Heidebrecht was another guy that, you know, you could come alongside and you realize these guys have labored in the vineyard, you know, and you watch them and when they speak, you want to listen. Mm-hmm. So there's guys like that around. And then I think the Lord's just given me a lot of, actually, you know, I'm old enough now to say that there's more peers now that do that. And I still learn from those who are, you know, of similar age or a little bit older, a little bit younger, whatever, that still continue to speak into my world.
So the whole idea of a mentorship isn't just something that is for your high school years, your teenage years.
No, I would hope that there's always room for that in people's lives.
Good. All right, Luke, your turn. People in your life, you know, either past high school days or now who have been, you know, key mentors for you.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it back to high school. I think for me, I was so heavily involved with sports that my coaches were such big mentors in my life. They were always interested in me because, I mean, maybe it's a selfish thing because they wanted their team to become better. So they were always focused on us being the best. As Naylor would say, we want you to become the best men possible on and off the field. We wanted you, because you were a student first and then an athlete, and we're training you to become men who can function in society, which was awesome to hear that they actually cared about us, how we were off the field and on the field. So Gary Naylor and Coach Kelly, they were just very inspirational men in my life who I looked up to greatly. And then in basketball, I had Sean Beasley and Coach Max and Coach Sonny, and they were all just amazing people that influenced me greatly, and they cared about me. I remember this one time, we had this one coach, Coach Sonny, and he cared so much that he was hearing relationship advice from one of the players. Not a relationship advice, but he was telling about his relationship problem with girls. And here he was getting all mad because of how these girls have done him wrong. And he's like, man, I don't know why I'm so affected by these 16-year-old's lives. And it was just funny because he saw how much he cared about the people that he was coaching. And at that age, it was really cool to see someone care about you that's older than you, other than your parents. So I know those guys had a huge impact on my life. Just awesome guys.
So it sounds like these guys were your coaches in a public school setting, right? So these weren't church figures, spiritual mentors. They were kind of life, you know, life coaches in a sense.
Yeah. Coach Kelly was almost a priest. And then Gary Naylor, a fantastic man of God. I've met with him many times after I got back from Cape and Ray in the past couple of years. And I've talked to him lots, and he's still kicking and doing lots of good work out there. He's an awesome man of God. But the other guys, after high school, kind of lost touch with them. But I just remember in high school, they're just awesome to be around, and they really impacted my life.
So what's one thing that one of these guys would say that you'll never forget? Or some, like a line maybe you've even borrowed from one of them?
A line? I'd have to say... maybe not a line, but Coach Kelly Naylor would often, when we weren't working hard, they'd be like, are you going to slack off like this in real life or just here? Because the way they're like, if you work hard here, you're going to work hard in real life. Mm-hmm. And you can see that through the people who he talked to, like the people who have actually worked hard to get where they're at compared to the people who in practice would slack off and just rely on their abilities. And they're the same people who are slacking off in real life. So just work hard.
Isn't that what youth pastors do, though?
Work hard?
Just slack off.
They better not.
Drink coffee.
Better not slack off. They got to be the hardest working guys out there. That's all I know.
Eat pizza. We just work one night a week, I thought.
When did you last time you have pizza, Gitch?
It's been a while.
Breakfast?
Breakfast.
I thought youth pastors only work one day a week, youth nights. Isn't that true? You guys work more than one day a week?
Do you have an accountability partner?
No, I'm looking for one.
I hear Ezra's really good.
That's right.
Ezra, yeah, he's okay. He's a busy man. He's a busy man. Growing up, I had a couple of guys who...
Yeah, Gitch, tell us, who are your mentors?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. I typically hung out with guys who were older than me. You know, they were sort of peers, but they were either a grade or maybe two grades older. So I always hung out, and I don't know why, you know, maybe it's just because I'm so mature. These older guys wanted to hang out with me. You know, they were grade 12, I was grade 10, or they were grade 10, I was grade 8. I mean, I guess I just operated 2 years ahead of, you know, where I should have been.
So like you were, like there's always those gifted athletes that play like 2 years above their age.
Yeah.
You were gifted in maturity.
That's right.
Wow.
Social butterfly.
So did that just stop right there then? After that, you matured and then
done? Yeah, grade 11, yeah.
So you're still stuck in grade 11?
Yeah.
Huh, that makes sense.
Or 12, I'm not sure yet. But I hung out with a lot of older friends, which could have been a good thing, could have been a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I had two guys, you know, from a spiritual perspective who were key mentors for me. One of those who is actually now my father-in-law. I took a liking for his daughter and I married her. And now he's my father-in-law. He was my youth pastor, though, for a lot of years going through middle and high school, and just a great guy. I got to intern under him just shortly after high school. And this guy is just awesome. He's been in youth ministry for so many years, and he's got, you know, a system that works as far as just, you know, the program, and he's got his weeks figured out in such a way that he's really effective with his time. The guy is just, he's really, really busy, but he always has just an amazing amount of time. He works hard, but he also knows how to relax and rest, and so he's good at that. He's got a very sustainable system, and so I look up to him a lot, you know, even just now working in ministry, and I'm often on the phone with him or whenever we're visiting, you know, for holidays or visiting them on a weekend. I continue to heed his advice. But when I was younger, one of the guys who really invested in me, his name was Richard, and Ron, you actually know Richard. You guys go back, apparently.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So Richard is one of these guys who, in a lot of ways, kind of kept handpicking me for things, and it sort of bugged me. I didn't really know why. I was a part of his youth program, and then he pulled me aside one day and said, "Hey, Andrew, I want you to come to D-Team." I thought, "What? You want me to come where?" Yeah, D-Team. We meet the day before. This is good. We, as D-Team, I accepted his offer, and we met the day before youth nights, and we would go through, and we would read through the lesson ahead of time. I always like having the inside scoop on things, you know? So for me, this was just basically like a chance to, you know, to kind of be behind the scenes and know what's happening, right? So I could know the answers, or I could know the questions, or I could know what games we're going to play. That's kind of why I said yes, because I thought, hey, I like planning, and it's kind of my thing. And the snacks. Wednesday after school, that's what you need, is a good snack. So I obliged. I accepted the offer for D-Team. You know, my motives may have been selfish and motivated by the snacks.
They were.
They were. But what I began to see was that there was a lot more to life. There was a lot more to these years than just goofing off and being a kid. You know, I began to...
More life than just snacks.
More life than just snacks. But there was other leaders there, and I began to see that, okay, wow, these people are Christians. These people love the Lord. These people actually care enough about people like me to want to invest and want to be able to plan these youth nights and want to be able to lead us in godliness. And so I began at even that age, you know, this started in probably grade 9 or 10, and I began to kind of see this discipleship. That's what D-Team stood for, by the way, was discipleship team. That's what we were. And so I began to kind of slowly... It began to click a little bit that I could even sort of be a bit of a leader, even though I was a student. I could begin to, contribute and that sort of thing. So these guys, Richard was kind of that main guy, but this team of people on our discipleship team all kind of invested in me and took me under their wing and built me up. And would take me out for coffee, and they would pick me up for things, and we would do just ridiculous things, some of which may not even have been, you know, legal on the weekends. We would put too many people in a pickup truck and go to the beach or whatever, and we would just have an awesome time. But really where that started was a relationship, you know, so you get all these guys who care about you, and they want to build a relationship with you. And from there, you know, the discipleship and the relationship with Christ is kind of sort of a natural byproduct of that. So I've definitely a lot of guys in my growing up years who did, you know, appreciate hanging out with me, I think, and who taught me a lot. So definitely a lot of people there who I could name them all. One of the things Richard always said that I'll never forget, he had a lot of things to say, but I was always looking for money. I always had a job, and I always was like trying to buy the next thing, you know, maybe it was a new snowboard or a bike. I was always looking to get some more money, and I was willing to work for it, but it was never an issue for me. So Richard often would put me to work in his backyard or whatever. We would go do stuff, and he would pay me. I mean, not much, but a little bit. And whenever we would work, sometimes he would get me and a couple of buddies. Whenever we would work, he would always say, "You know what? When the going gets tough, the not so tough get going." That was his line, you know, because we would be working, and then things would start to get hard, and you know, you get a little tired. And he would say, "When the going gets tough, the not so tough get going." And I'll never forget that. It'll stick with me. Richard was always about, you know, working hard, mm-hmm. and kind of getting those hard things done and out of the way. Guy's a great, great worker, you know, physically, but he's also a big kingdom worker too. So yes. I still keep in touch with him, and yeah, he's working in ministry now. So I read an article recently put out by the Fuller Youth Institute. I don't know what their website is, fulleryouthinstitute.com or org maybe, but I read this article put out by them, and one of their main contributors is Kara Powell, and she's put together all kinds of research, and she's one of the main instructors, teachers at this institute along with others. They put out an article having to do with, they borrow this image of swimming, and they talk about how, life is kind of like choppy, rough waters, and how our students, our adolescents are swimming from, through this area of choppy waters. Sometimes it's open and rough, other times it's calm. But they borrow this illustration from an athlete. And I want to know what you guys think about this, and I'm curious what your perspectives are. But one of the things they suggest is that students, youth, adolescents need walls to swim to. They need walls to swim from, to push off, and then they need walls to swim to. And I'm curious, what are the two or three or maybe four things, what are these key walls in a student's life that they need to swim to? This image is borrowed from actually a professional swimmer. And yeah, this article is written kind of with this image of swimming in mind. What are two or three things that students need, regardless of age or gender or public school, homeschool, regardless of all these things, what are key walls that youth need?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think come to mind automatically. As their kids get older, teenagers often need them less and need others more. That's just kind of a way of life. Teenagers are expanding their horizons, and so they're playing more sports by themselves, that kind of thing. It's more activities where they're away from the home, and other people are having an influence in their lives, whether it's coaches, whether it's teachers, whether it's instructors, whether whatever that case may be. It could even be an employer, if it's a part-time job or something like that. But there are going to be people in your teenagers' lives that are influencing them, whether they are role models or not, in a positive way. That's what you're always hoping. So, I mean, parents want their kids to make right and wrong decisions. They want to be able to kind of breathe out and say, yeah, my kid can make right and wrong decisions. I think there are three things that every teenagers need and that they desire for. And that's appreciation, affirmation, and attention. Appreciation, affirmation, attention. So they are seeking these things. We know that as youth pastors, that these are things that teenagers crave. They crave appreciation. They need to be accepted for who they are. That's why they like youth group. That's why they like their youth pastors. That's why they like their volunteers or their core group leaders and their volunteers that are in youth ministry. Because, hey, this significant adult accepts me. So there's an appreciation for them as a person. I think that's good. They also like affirmation. It's simply being there to cheer them on. Luke, you and I were at the MEI this week, and we watched the girls' gold volleyball final. Wow. And yet, we knew students on there, and you knew students on there. And so they, for us to be there to cheer them on, that's an affirmation. The stands are going crazy, because that's an affirmation. We all seek that. All right. So then there's the understanding of attention. And I view that as time. Teenagers need time. They need to have people. It's not necessary. There is quality, but it also is quantity. And so role models give all of those things: appreciation, affirmation, and attention. And sometimes they are bumpy if you're a coach or if you're an instructor or whatever. But those are three things that continue to be absorbed by adolescents because they seek them. I mean, they're not saying, I like these three A's and I'm going to concentrate on appreciation today. No, that's just in studies and observations over the years. I realize when I look back, I was glued to the person who appreciated me, who affirmed me, who gave me attention. And so if there's something in there that's good, that's an awesome thing. That's why I encourage parents, make sure you know who's influencing your son or daughter in school. Know those coaches. Know what they represent. Even in a youth group, like, get to know your son or your daughter's core group leader. These people have influence in your son or daughter's life, so you should know them, you know? So don't just take for granted. I mean, we here at Northview, we have phenomenal volunteers, young men and women who love Jesus, who love the church, who love to serve in the high school and middle school department. But yet as a parent, I would want to know who actually is influencing my son and daughter. So that's what I would also recommend. So those are a couple of things that come to mind automatically on role models. You know, the understanding that these are three ground rules for adolescence, that appreciation, that attention, that affirmation, that must surface in all of their lives one way or the other.
Mm. Yeah.
Luke, what do you think?
Well, I think those walls are needed much more than we think. Ronnie, okay over there?
I am.
I had another friend put it another way, and he was saying sort of like security blankets or something like that. And the problem is that we do such a good job while they are in high school for some of the kids, but for some of the other kids, we don't do so well. And that these kids have great walls to bounce off of. But as soon as they graduate, they go off to somewhere far away. Let's say they go to like UBC or University of Toronto. All of a sudden, all their walls are gone.
Right.
And this is what my friend told me, who struggles with depression and anxiety. And he told me this is where it comes up. When there's none of these walls to bounce off of, that's when these mental illnesses come from. And you realize, like, I'm here at UBC and I have to get this grade on this test or else I'm not going to get my dream job. And at that point, they don't have anyone to help them guide through their life. They might have guidance counselors at the schools, but I mean, they might not go to them. They might be scared of going to it, and they don't have these walls now. And so kids get sent off and now they don't have these walls. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much needed. And if you take away the walls too fast, it's not going to bring about good things for those children, for those kids mm-hmm. emerging into adulthood. And so these walls are not only needed for while they're in high school, but to continue on mm-hmm. after into the young adult that doesn't end until, what, 28, 29 now?
35.
How old are you?
25.
Oh, you're a kid.
Yeah, so I think the walls are crucial and great what you were saying about parents getting to know the youth leaders. Invite them over for dinner.
Yes.
They would love to. So, I mean, I think that's right. Just a great idea to get to know who these, I mean, make sure they're okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think you got to remember too, guys, that when you speak about these walls that they have to kind of, you know, swim to and swim away from, push off, that these are testing grounds. Their personalities are being formed. Their morals are being formed. You know, there's all kinds of things that they're developing, and it gives us a sense of, okay, how are they developing morals, values, and hopefully the home life, the parents, you know, coming from godly homes. Some of our kids, you know, come from homes that, you know, parents aren't Christians, and so they don't see this stuff. And so, you know, they see the morals and the values develop, but yet where are the spiritual elements to all of this? And so we want to walk alongside parents in this and the role models, and we want to, you know, guarantee that our leaders are people who are going to be of high values, but they're going to learn to push off on these, students are, because there is a strength in knowing that they are developing their personalities, they're developing their opportunity to grow on their own somewhat. And so they're kind of swimming these waters of knowing, okay, where do I get my affirmation? Where do I get my attention? Well, you know, all of those things. And it comes through. And when you realize that groundedness comes from knowing who Christ is in their life. Yeah. And that we point to that first and foremost, because the world can give them all kinds of attention. Mm-hmm. The world can give them all kinds of affirmation. That, you know, all of those things can come from the world. And that's exactly where if we don't see role models, if we don't have influence, the world will gladly raise our kids. The world will gladly role model the wrong things for our kids. And so that's why parents, be involved. Figure out who's got influence in your kids. And remember, mom and dad, you still are the most influential person in your son or daughter's life. Whether you have a strong or a weaker or middle sort of relationship, you still have that ability. You are still the one who speaks the longest, the hardest, the more sincere times are going to be from you. So don't underestimate or undersell your influence of being a role model. Yeah. Even though your kid is needing you less than they did when they were in elementary or whatever, you are still very, very valuable.
Yeah, well put. I think that the language that Kara Powell uses is borrowed from the name is Lisa DeMore, and one of the things they kind of land on, where they kind of wrap things up, is just that teenagers need multiple walls, and there isn't, you know, just one. And Ron, you're absolutely right with parents having that kind of main, most important, significant role. One of the things I find incredibly freeing is that as a youth pastor, you know, I come in contact day in, day out, week in, week out with all kinds of students. And I know that it's ultimately, you know, the Lord's work that we're participating in. And, you know, me on my own strength, I could be great and awesome and funny and or not, but I could be all of these things. Or you know, we could be, you know, we can try really, really hard. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord who works. None of us need to be a hero. And I find that incredibly freeing in participating in the Lord's work in a vocational sense. But even, you know, our youth leaders, right? Our youth leaders aren't going to be the only wall, but they can be kind of one link in the chain, so to speak. Guys, I've appreciated your input, your thoughts. We're going to wrap this up. And so thanks for tuning in. Thanks for giving us your time. Hopefully this has been helpful. If you've got questions or you want to interact with us on this, you're always welcome to email betweentoworlds@northview.org. That'll get directed to me or Ron or Luke. If you've got complaints, just send those straight to Luke. That's lfriesen@northview.org. If you're upset about anything and you want to pick a fight, that can also go to Luke L. Friesen.
If I'm upset with you, I got to talk to Luke?
Talk to Luke.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, I hate to run around.
That's right. But really, it's been great spending this time with you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon. I've been thinking too much.